This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. I am Matt Scraby, filling in for Chris Ello today. And Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, getting ready for tonight's game between the Padres and the Marlins. Now, I thought it was quite funny last night when the Padres won on a wild pitch and Tyler Wade came home, scored, and there you go, walk off. I always find it really, really, really funny when people post on social media, well, they wouldn't have won unless that guy threw the ball into the ground. That's part of the game. That's part of baseball. Teams win due to wild pitches. I don't understand.
I think it makes Wade look good because clearly Wade has been paying attention to Fernando. Fernando did it the other day, or like last week or two.
Wade's
taking a page out of his book. He's smart.
That's Nick DiNucci, by the way, everybody. He's helping me on the board today. Tyler Wade is an extremely smart base runner, and Tyler Wade is very fast. I have no issues with Tyler Wade making moves on the bases. Like, if he wants to try to take a base, I'm gonna give him a leash, but not as long of a leash as Fernando, but I'm giving him a leash for sure, because Tyler Wade has done some great things. Manny Machado, and then in just a second, maybe like a minute and a half or so, we're going to hear from Mike Schilt, who's talking about Michael King, and I really am curious to hear what he had to say because of what Sam previewed with us. But Manny Machado is having maybe one of the sneakiest best seasons in baseball right now. In regards to third baseman, his batting average, 319, which is first. His on-base percentage, 391, which is first. OPS, 888, which is third. Runs, first, with 37. Stolen bases, third, with 7. And then WRC+, second, and F4, third. Now, the runs, to me, being first, is maybe the most impressive thing on that list, because you have to be on base to get, you know, to score a run. And so that means that Manny Machado's on base a lot. Also means that when Manny Machado's on base, his team scores him. So that was the one that really stood out to me. And there are lots of Manny Machado doubters. They're kind of like flat earthers. They just don't believe in whatever people say. But this tweet comes from the Podfathers, and it says this: Manny not being clutch narrative is a little weird to me. Currently has 9 career walk-offs. All-time leader is Jim Thome with 13. Good chance he eventually becomes the quote-unquote clutchest hitter of all time. Manny Machado is clutch, people. Manny Machado is clutch. And we still have those stats that I'm going to go through on the double plays, and that's going to be in the next segment. Manny Machado is clutch. There's a reason that Manny Machado is paid as much as he is. I think it's up to $35 million a year. There is a reason for that, because if the Padres didn't pay him that, I guarantee you another team would have paid him that. Because Manny Machado, his stats don't tell the full story of how impactful he is for this baseball team. And thank you to Podfathers for that tweet. That was a really good addition. I mean, 9 walk-offs, Jim Thome with 13. He only needs 5 more in his career. The walk-off is like a double play. It's very specific. You know, you have to be the final batter, or you have to be a home team. Never mind. Everybody gets what I'm trying to say. Michael King's injury, though, and Yu Darvish, because I was concerned over the weekend for Michael King, because it went from, you know, teams are always mysterious. I'm going to say that, and I'm going to disclaimer it with that, because it's all teams. But It seems like sometimes things go from okay to, you know what? He woke up with some more soreness, and so we're going to put him on the IL and check in with him in 10 days. And then sometimes it just goes to really bad where they're like missing a month. And so whenever a big name player for the Padres goes on, player for the Padres goes on IL, I'm not sure what I can really, how much I can analyze it. Like, are they going to be gone a long time? Are they, is it true that they're going to be back by their next start? Well, Yu Darvish, I thought, was possibly going to be back on last week's road trip. He was not. Michael King went on the IL on last week's road trip. Here is Mike Schilt talking about both of those guys.
So go ahead and start off with Yu Darvish. And he said there was a smile on his face yesterday after he played catch yesterday. But how did he come out of that feeling?
I think he felt good. You know, he's, again, recovered well today, and take it today and see what tomorrow looks like. But we're progressing and still getting our hands around, arms around what exactly everything's going on with him. But if he's playing catch and he's feeling good, then we'll continue to take it next step.
I know it's still early with everything with Michael King, but is there any update on him?
There's really not. I know he's going to get, again, we're in a little bit of uncharted territory. This isn't a very common, thing that takes place. Our crack medical team, which are amazing, are working with our team doctors, which are also amazing, and some experts just to figure out exactly what's going on. And, he's getting some incremental improvement. So from what I understand, clearly improvement is important initially and anytime somebody gets injured or hurt, but I think it's especially important with this particular, what he's dealing with. And so that's encouraging. More so, but yeah, we're doing some testing, further testing, getting some really qualified people and experts in the field for this to look at it, and we'll know more hopefully sooner than later. But that's all we know at the moment.
We had a chance to hear from Kyle Hart today in the clubhouse. What are your expectations for him tomorrow?
No different than any starting pitcher we have. But Hardy's done a nice job. He started the season with us. I was impressed by his ability to adapt to the organization, get better as the spring training went, come in, the starts got better as he went. Also, I was really pleased and impressed by his ability to accept but not like the, going to El Paso and getting some work in. But he's done it, similar to Steven. Steven didn't break with the club, but went down and had the right mindset about, improving his craft. From all reports, Hart's done the same thing, and so that, Steven's done and come up and give us a chance to win a big league ball game.
That was Mike Schilt talking about a multitude of things. Yu Darvish, Michael King, we'll get back to in just a second, and then Kyle Hart is going to be starting for the Padres tomorrow. But going back to the Michael King comment, and here is why I am a little concerned. This is a paraphrase, but Mike Schilt said this isn't a common thing that takes place. They need to figure out exactly what's going on, but there is clear improvement, which is important. This isn't a common thing that takes place is what worries me, because it sounded at first like a simple I slept on my shoulder wrong type thing, and then now he's on the IL, and they are bringing in. Mike Schilt didn't say this, but to me, it sounded like they're bringing in specialists to discuss what's going on with Michael King and his shoulder. So that really does concern me. It is not something that I feel good about whatsoever. And you know what? We do actually. I just got word there was a follow up on the Michael King injury, and apparently there's some more information in that. So let's hear that before I keep talking.
But you said that King injury was not a common thing. Like, what from your understanding is what's uncommon about the injury?
I mean, it's just more, in the scap area. I mean, it's not overly structural. So we're trying to figure out what's taking place with it. And so to the fact that we're still diagnosing it makes it uncommon.
And is there any understanding of like how it came about? Is that part of the...
I literally slept on it wrong. And woke up, and he played catch, threw great, was we do. One of the things we do well, the industry does well, but we do especially well is we create really strong baselines and understanding, and are constantly testing and so aware of like players' flexibility, their strength. You know, now the stuff during the course of games, you know, release heights and, you know, spin rates and what their bullpens look like. And so we track all that extremely well, use it very effectively. So the point I'm getting at is all of us tracking in a very good place for Michael, and has been quite candidly since he's been here. And there's been some modifications and some improvement to it that he gets the credit for. But so the day before was like, all systems go, and the next morning wakes up and, you know, he's dealing with what he's dealing with. So that makes it unusual as well.
And he hasn't thrown or tried to throw, or there's no plan.
He did pick up some plyo balls prior to that, but that was more just to double, triple check that, yeah, this isn't going to happen today, but let's give it the old professional effort, not the college effort. And so he did it, and, you know, here we are.
I will say that Mike Schilts seems to be in better spirits than I think a manager would be if they knew that their player was going to miss a lot of time. But that's me totally reading into it, the way that Mike Schilts delivered that news. And it was kind of strange. It's more in the scapula area. I guess Mike Schilts called it the scap area, which is the shoulder blade. And it's not a structural thing. Mike Schilts said, which is great because you don't want anything structural. They are still diagnosing what is going on. That is why it's uncommon. It's not that the injury itself is uncommon, but not knowing what to diagnose him with and what the next steps are is uncommon. So they're working on it. They're giving their best try to get Michael King back before, or actually just miss one start and get back before his next start. But we'll see. I have a feeling he's going to miss a couple starts. I just got this feeling he's going to miss the one he missed the other day. He's going to miss one this week, and he's going to miss another one. I would think three starts is what he's going to miss if we are to think that he's coming back after his IL time is up. All right, we are headed towards the end of the show. Happy Hour is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season is in full swing, and so is swim season. Call GL Pools and mention radio for a free month of pool service. Again, call GL Pools and mention radio for a free month of pool service. We'll get some of your comments about Michael King and some of the other stories that happened over the weekend in sports up next on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why, but I think this is my favorite bed just because it reminds me of the Munsters. I think I've said this on the Scraby Show before. But, yeah. Anyway, Matt Scraby here with you. Nick DiNucci with me as well. We are coming to the end of Gwynn and Chris. I'm filling in for Chris. He'll be back tomorrow. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park getting ready for tonight's game between the Marlins and the Padres. Steven Kolek pitching for the Padres and Max Meyer pitching for the Marlins. Now, you heard Mike Schilts earlier today say that Kyle Hart is going to be starting tomorrow. I like Kyle Hart. I think the sending him back down is probably something that he never wanted. Well, I know it's something he did not want to have happen. But like Mike Schilts said, it kind of builds a fire a little bit. He did what he needed to do, and now look at what Steven Kolek is doing. So maybe it's going to help. I also think that there's a fire within Kyle Hart to make sure that he pitches so well that he never goes back down to AAA. I don't know that he wanted to come all the way back. You know, I don't know that he wanted to go to Japan or Korea. I'm sorry, Korea, and then come back and be put in El Paso. That's not something I think that he was expecting whatsoever. This hour 97.3, well, let me start that over. This hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. All right. Let me read some tweets that I got in the break about some of the things we talked about today. First one is from Christian. And Christian is being respectful. So if you want to talk and not argue, but debate, be respectful and we can debate. But Christian says Machado going 1-for-10 in clutch spots doesn't mean he's clutch, at least for the Padres. He was better towards the end of last year and somewhat better this year. In 23 and 24, he was atrocious. Now, clutch stats are weird to begin with because they're all based upon situation. And so Manny Machado being clutch to a lot of people means, does he come through in situations that they absolutely needed him to come through in? And this is baseball. And baseball is a really different, difficult sport where you're not going to succeed most of the time. And so I would much rather have Manny ground into a double play to end the game on May 26th or 5th. I'm not going to put a date in the future because I don't want to predict the future. I'd rather him do that then than later in the season when it means a lot more, when there's a lot more weight behind the clutch situation. But I understand, Christian, why you feel that way. I do, because Manny is one of the players on the team. He is the leader of the team. As the leader of the team, you have to come through in certain situations. And I can see why some don't feel that Manny is clutch. But there are certain moments where Manny is more than clutch. He is he wins games for the team, and he's on one of these tears right now that could, in total, to me, like, I know we're talking about clutch situations, but in the totality of things, his stretch of being hot, basically, 319 average, 888 OPS, that's clutch to me because the team has needed him through those different spells where they had injuries and where they were losing. They needed him, and sometimes he came through and sometimes he didn't. But I do understand a little bit why you would say that, Christian. David responded and said, Manny had an OPS over 900 in high leverage situations last year and has three crucial home runs this week. And he's saying that the overreaction to Manny being a not clutch is dumb. Yeah, Manny has done some great things this week. He's not going to come through every single time. It's just not going to happen. That's what baseball is all about. You come through 30% of the time. 3 out of 10 times is a nearly Hall of Fame career. And Manny Machado, he does his best to carry this team on his back. He does. Let's go back to Michael King and the injury there. And I was looking on the YouTube chat. If you ever want to watch any of our shows on YouTube, you can. Just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan, and you'll be able to see them and chat with people. But I was looking through some of the chats, and about Michael King, they were saying that they believe that he's just going to miss this one start and he'll be back. Some say that no, he's not going to be back. But for the most part, it looks like he's going to. People think that he's going to come back after just this IL stint, which would be really, really nice because I don't know that they can go for a extended period of time without Michael King being in the rotation. It's just, I don't think that would be a good move because now Kyle Hart gets way more important. Randy Vasquez gets way more important. Dylan Cease gets way more important. And Michael King, you just can't afford to lose him.
It puts a lot more pressure on the starters that already have a lot of pressure on them because you isn't there, among other things.
It's true. That's Nick DiNucci. He is helping me out on the show today. But you're right. I mean, it does put a lot more pressure on the starters. They have to. It all goes downhill. One starter goes 3 innings, then the bullpen gets taxed. The next starter feels like they need to go 7 innings because the bullpen was taxed, and it just keeps rolling downhill. And so, like, their rotation is able to withstand little periods of time missing some guys, but if Michael King, knock on wood, is like a Yu Darvish IL stint, I don't know. That's a lot. That changes the entire complexion of their rotation. And you're moving people up, but you're not necessarily getting... You're not necessarily getting a better rotation. You're actually not getting a better rotation because your number one starter is going to be out.
Because hopefully that doesn't happen. Because if it does happen, then like the, you know, the, say the bad scenario of King being hurt and we have to go get another starter, who do we try to trade to even make that happen in the first place?
Oh yeah, I can't even go. I can't even go in that direction. I can't, because we've already talked trades today with Adley Rutschman, all that. I got to see what happens with Michael King first. If he's back, I'm hoping he's back. But Mike Schilt did say that it is an uncommon injury, and the reason it's uncommon is because they're still diagnosing it. It's not structural. It's more in the scapula area, which makes me feel like a doctor when I say scapula, and I just ripped the earphones out of my ears right now. All right, I have been telling everyone about this grounding into double plays segment. And it's the fan fact check. And so my friend texted me over the weekend, said the Padres, quote, the Padres always hit into double plays in big situations. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go look this up and see. So overall in baseball, the A's are the number one team with 52 double plays grounded into. Padres are tied for 12th with 34, so they're like middle of the pack. Not terrible, not great, just middle of the pack. When the team is leading, they are tied for 11th with 13. So they are, again, same area as the overall. Not great, not bad. Dodgers and Mets, two of the best teams in the league, when their team is leading, have the most grounded into double plays with 19. So it kind of shows you something there. When the team is trailing, when the Padres are trailing, they are tied for 15th with 12. A's have the most with 27. So when they are down, they are middle of the pack. So when my friend says the Padres always hit into double plays in big situations, I would say the team is trailing is a big situation. They are half. They are the middle of the pack for the league. If the score is tied, the Padres also middle of the pack, tied for 16th with 9. Mets have the most with 15. So, again, middle of the pack. Late and close is a clutch metric. But they are tied towards the bottom of the league with 18. They only have 3. I mean, there's not many opportunities with the late and close, so that's why they only have 3. But they are tied for 18th, which is good, because they are down near the bottom. With a runner on first, this is probably the highest that they rank among the double plays. But when they have a runner only on first, they are 10th with 24 double plays grounded into. A's, again, are number one with 36. So that is their highest number with a runner on first, 10th. I can kind of stomach that a little bit. Runners on first and second, middle of the pack, tied for 15th with 7. Runners on first and third, they have not grounded into one double play this year with runners on first and third. The Dodgers have 6, so they are down at the bottom. And then finally, runners in scoring position, which is something that the Padres have struggled with as of late. You would think there's been a lot of double plays that they've grounded into with runners in scoring position. They're 19th with 10. So going through all of those stats, and all of those are as of this morning, before game started, all of that. If you look at all of that, they are middle of the pack of grounding into double plays. They're not even close to being the worst grounding into double play team in baseball. So this is why I like the fan fact check, because initially, I wanted to prove to myself that they weren't as bad as people said, and I did prove that. But there are other things where I think that it's one thing when it turns out to be another.
So in summation, your friend, and I mean this respectfully, as
no,
he's
no,
your
you
friend.
Can you can make fun of him.
No, he should. He sounds like he needs to do his research.
Yes,
respectfully,
thank you.
Respectfully, of course, sir.
You don't need to be respectful, but yes, do your research. But I mean, this was just one of those things. Padres always hitting the double plays in big situations. I hear this a lot, though, And it's not just my friend texting me this. I hear this all the time. But they are middle of the pack in double plays this year. They don't, I mean, if you're going to look at maybe the last 10, 15 games, their hitting numbers are not great. And that's because they haven't been hitting in the last 10 to 15 games. But if you take everything as a whole, it doesn't look so bad. It really doesn't. And that's what I'm trying to get people to realize, is that the baseball season has so many different ebbs and flows that right now they've won 3 out of the last 4 and they're not even playing that well. So they're taking care of business. But when they lost 6 in a row, they just weren't hitting. And that's something that happens to baseball teams. And I have done, I think I did it last week, where I went through the league and how many teams went through a certain number of games without being able to get a run on the board. And it happens to everyone. Did you have something, Nick? Sorry, I thought you had something. John says, 162 is a grind, man. Yes, it is. It is a grind. Nate Taylor says, your friends don't know ball scraby. I love that because...
Nate keeps it 1,000. Nate,
you know, I love it. I love it because people tell me I don't know ball all the time, but I'm going to go tell my friend, you don't know ball, because that would be fun. All right. We're coming to the end. Sammy Lev up next. Padres pregame show. He is up in the Western Metal Building, and so you are going to get to hear everything you need to know. He'll fill you in on the latest from Mike Schilt. He will talk about the different news stories and news items heading into the game tonight. But I want to leave you with this. And it is, I have followed this account on Twitter, and I don't know why it keeps finding, or why it keeps sending me the posts that I love the most. But these are all new food items around the world. I'm going completely off the board here. It's all new food items around the world. McDonald's has launched a new mac and cheese snack wrap in Singapore. It contains crispy mac and cheese patty, scrambled eggs, cheese, and meat. I'm into that. Why can they not have this here in the United States? Nick, would you like to eat a mac and cheese snack wrap?
That might have to be after a Friday or Saturday night outing. You know what I mean?
Really? You could just go through the drive-thru and pick up a mac and cheese snack wrap?
Maybe, but that's, you know what I mean? That just sounds, I'd have to look into that before I, you know, want to go eat it, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, it looks so good. I'm into this.
It sounds like a nice guilty pleasure late night snack.
Nate says, how did you gain all the weight? I don't know if he's talking to me, but yeah, it's me wanting to eat things like the mac and cheese snack wrap. Trust me, before SD Fat Loss, I would have gone to the drive-thru after the show and gotten a mac and cheese snack wrap. I love anything mac and cheese. All right, thank you to everybody for listening today. Sam Levitt up next. Chris Ello back tomorrow on 97.3 The Fan. Thank you for being here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.